Exercising spiritual authority is not a class on biblical doctrine. We are not going to magnify biblical doctrine as much as we are spiritual matters. We are more concerned about the works of the Holy Spirit in this class than particular doctrines. Not that I want to denigrate or downplay the importance of biblical doctrine. Biblical doctrine is absolutely essential. It's the foundation of everything. But in this class, we want to magnify how to do the works. Rather than magnifying the words of the Holy Spirit, we want to learn how to magnify and do the works of the Holy Spirit. So, if there are particular things that I might say in this class that you disagree with, that's okay. See, let's just agree to disagree if we need to. But let's not be disagreeable in our disagreement. You see, the great unifying factor in the body of Christ is not doctrine, it's love. And I will tell you that as I sit here and as I speak to you, that I love you and that I pray for you. See, I trust you will love me with the love of Christ. And then perhaps you already do because you just have Christ's love living so wonderfully and inside. And if we don't agree on everything, we can still love each other fervently, and we can still support each other, we can still help each other, see. So we don't want to magnify the areas where we disagree, but it's okay that if I say something or that you don't agree with, just go and study it more. Just go and study it more. And if I teach something that you don't agree with and you see in greater light on it in the Word than I have seen, then share it with me. See, I'm approachable. I'm teachable. You'll have access, and I'm sure you do right now, in your notebook, in your workbook. You have access to me with my address, with my phone number, through the email or however, or a fax machine. You can reach Lightbearers Ministries and you can talk to me. So if you see something that, or you hear something that I say that you don't agree with, please contact me. But regardless of whether you agree with me, let's agree to love one another with the love of Christ and to stand together and to pray for one another and to stand against the devil with each other and to fight for each other and not with each other. Hallelujah. Because love is the great unifying factor in the body of Christ. It's that bond of perfectness, according to Colossians 3:12, that we all need to walk in. And certainly none of us has perfect doctrine. There's not a man or a woman walking the earth who can claim to know all the Word of God. There's not a man or a woman walking today who knows all the will of God either. So let's just recognize that and stay meek to one another and stay loving towards one another. And also, if from my cultural background as an American, I say or share something in a way that offends you, please forgive me. Believe me, it is not my intent to offend anyone. It's just because of my cultural background and not knowing your cultural background, and certainly these tapes are being made for many different people from many different cultural backgrounds. So it's impossible for me to know everything and how to say everything in just such a way that you can receive it easily. So if I say something from my American background that offends you, or I do something on this tape in some way that offends you, just forgive me. Just please forgive me. And let's move on. Let's magnify the greater reality that we're one body in Christ, that we're to love one another, that we're to abide in Christ together, that we're to be members on that vine, see, that we're to be members together of the body of Christ. And let's magnify that over cultural differences or over anything, any slight doctrinal disagreements that we might have. Because I tell you, we agree on the absolutes of God's Word. We agree that Jesus is Lord. We agree that He is returning. We believe in the Godhead. We believe in the inspired truth of the Scriptures. We believe that Jesus died and rose again for our sins. We believe that He's coming back. We believe the Word of God is the will of God. We believe these absolute biblical truths. And the other little things that you might have a slightly different light on or a slightly different thing on, just let's magnify love, see, and agree to be disagreeable, or to disagree, but not to be disagreeable in our disagreement, okay? Hallelujah. Exercising spiritual authority is a class on how to be led by the Holy Spirit. You see, He is the great teacher in this class. I'm only His helper. Hallelujah. Don't hold me up as being the teacher of this class, because the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, is the teacher in this class. He's the head of the body, and He's the one that we all take orders from. So, if you have a question about something that I teach, ask Him first. That's right. Ask Him to show you what I'm teaching, what I'm talking about. And then if there's any way that I can help you to gain a greater understanding of God's Word, or gain a greater understanding, or clarify something that I've taught in this class, please write to me. Or please feel free to call me, or reach me in whatever way that you can, because I'll just be blessed to hear from you. And I guarantee, I assure you that I will respond, and we will get together and come to some sort of agreement. Hallelujah. I also ask that you do not duplicate these tapes or this workbook that we're giving you. If someone else wants to hear the class, have them contact me, and I'll be happy to get them a set of the tapes, or perhaps the Holy Spirit will authorize us to go in and do a live teaching in their area. But please don't duplicate the tapes or the workbook. You see, this class relates to exercising spiritual authority, and our emphasis in this class is on spiritual matters and less on biblical affairs. There's many other wonderful subjects in God's Word that we could spend many, many hours in. But I'm concerned in this class in teaching you in a very short period of time. Actually, we're only going to be in this class in about 20 hours of teaching. In a very short period of time, how to begin to walk as you're led by the Holy Spirit. Because I know that you can walk out of this class after having sat through these short hours of tape and immediately and instantaneously begin to see the power of God work in your life. And it doesn't matter if you're 12 years old or 112 years old. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor in a church or just a new believer in Jesus Christ. You have been authorized by God to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And once you have a knowledge of God's Word, you can absolutely see the power of God in your life. That's right. One of the first miracles of healing that I ever saw in my life was came just a couple of weeks after I became a Christian and became knowledgeable of the power of God. I was with another boy, and we were visiting a young girl who was a friend of ours in school. And I remember I walked up to the front door of her house and I knocked on the door, and she came to the door and she was on crutches and her left ankle was all wrapped in an ace bandage, in a bandage. And I said, "Jennifer, what happened?" And she said, "I was in a car accident yesterday and my ankle was broken and it's hurt." And I said, "Jennifer, do you believe that God will heal you if I pray for you?" I was just 16 years old at the time. Had just learned about the power of God in my life. And I figured here was a great opportunity to try out what I had just learned. And she said, "Yes." You know how girls talk when they're very upset. And she said, "Yeah." And I kneeled down and I put my hand on that ankle. And I commanded that ankle to be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And I looked up, and her mouth dropped open, and her eyes got real big. And she put down her crutches, and she started dancing. Right there on the porch of her house, she started dancing and jumping up and down and shouting for joy, because God had healed her ankle in a moment of time when I had asked him to in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, you see, I wasn't an ordained minister at that time. I hadn't finished Bible college. I hadn't finished seminary. I hadn't been ordained. I hadn't pastored a church. I hadn't done anything except believe in Jesus Christ. And yet I was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I knew the power of God that I had. And I reached out and I prayed. And God honored that prayer with a miracle. You can do the same thing. And that's exactly what we need to see happen. We need to see that happen in our churches. We need to see not only the pastor filled with the power of God, but every member of his congregation filled with the power of God. And every member reaching out as a minister of Jesus Christ. Every member reaching out with the power of God. And that's what this class is all about, teaching you how to walk in the power of God so that you can do the works that Jesus did. Hallelujah. Because remember, the only requirement that he set in John 14:12 is he that believeth on me. If you believe on him, then you are qualified to do the works that he did. And it doesn't matter if you're white or black or yellow or red or brown. It makes no matter the color of your skin. It matters what's in your heart and who you believe on. That's where your power comes from. Hallelujah. You see, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent." This is this great sermon, the fulfillment of this great sermon, the end of this great sermon on the day of Pentecost, after Peter and the other apostles had been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and the multitude had gathered together, and they had asked Peter what was going on. And Peter preached that great sermon in Acts chapter 2. And then they were pricked in their hearts, and they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." You see, you have done that. You have repented. You have believed on the name, and been baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And the Word of God absolutely promises that ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost comes and indwells your spirit at the time of the new birth. The Father and the Son, through the Holy Spirit, indwell you, make their abode within you. And this is what gives you the power to walk in. Not a degree from a Bible seminary. Not being called or ordained or installed as a pastor, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit when you repent and you believe on Him and you're baptized in His name. See, that's the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the gift of the Holy Spirit is manifested. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and in verse 7, it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit," 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, "but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." Now, this gift of the Holy Spirit enables us to walk with the power of God, and it has at least 9 manifestations that are guaranteed to every believer. And it lists these manifestations in verses 8, 9, and 10. It says, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues." Over the years, people have taught that 4-2-1 refers to one individual believer in the body of Christ. In other words, that he might give you word of wisdom, but he might give someone else the word of knowledge. That's not what it's talking about. The 4-2-1 refers back to the prophet in verse 7. Each of those manifestations of the Spirit, tongues, interpretation, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning spirits, faith, miracles, and healings, has a distinct and unique profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, a distinct benefit to the receiver. You see, and it has a benefit that you can enjoy in your life. Word of wisdom has a benefit to it, a profit. Word of knowledge has a benefit to it. You can operate and be filled with all nine of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Because I know this is true, because you need to be able to operate all nine in order to do the works that Jesus commissioned you to do and said you could do. That's right. You need to speak in tongues and interpret and prophesy. You need to receive word of knowledge and word of wisdom and discerning of spirits. You need to operate faith, workings of miracles, and gifts of healings. All these Jesus did, with the exception of tongues and interpretation of tongues. In order to do the works that Jesus did, according to John chapter 14, verse 12, you need to operate all nine of these different evidences of the Spirit. And you can, as the Spirit energizes them in your life and as you believe God. That's right. You see, the operation of being led by the Spirit is a divine human cooperative effort. You must allow yourself to follow, and the Holy Spirit, by His will, leads you. You don't lead the Holy Spirit, and you can quit following the Holy Spirit at any time. He doesn't control you, but you must follow Him, and He is the one who leads you into word of knowledge. He's the one who leads you into healings. He's the one who leads you into miracles. He's the one who leads you into interpretation of tongues. See, this idea that all that everything is totally our responsibility is not true. It's you and the Holy Spirit working together, believing together. And I'll teach you this more clearly and set this for you so that you completely understand it as we go through this class. But I want you to understand now that you can operate all nine of these manifestations, that they can operate within your life. But all these, verse 11, worketh that one in the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He the Spirit wills. That's right. All these nine manifestations are energized, or works are energized by the Holy Spirit, and He gives to each of us as He wills, as He wills. It's available for Him to give us all nine, but we must be led by the Spirit. See? That's the great truth here. He will freely give all of these manifestations. He will freely give all these gifts in your life if you will allow Him to lead you. That's the great truth. If you allow Him to lead you, then He will bring all these things into manifestation in your life. But you've got to learn to not only be willing to be led, but then you have to learn how to follow. Two things. You have to be willing to be led, and you have to learn how to follow. Then He will bring all these things into your life. He will bring tongues, interpretation, prophecy. He will bring word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning spirits. He will bring faith, miracles, and gifts of healing if you learn how to be led and if you're willing to follow. You don't have to worry about the Holy Spirit doing His part. All you have to do is learn to do your part, and the Holy Spirit will be there to do His part, to bring the revelation, to bring the power, to bring the manifestations into evidence. You do your part, the Holy Spirit will do His part, and you will see the power of God in manifestation. That's how it works. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 5. We've received the gift of the Holy Spirit by repenting and being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, we have available to us, as we're led by the Spirit, the nine manifestations or the nine evidences of the Spirit. Now, there's also the great truth in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, Galatians chapter 5, that we can be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Galatians 5:22. gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You see, we have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, as we are led by the Spirit, He not only will bring manifestations of His Spirit into our lives, but He'll also bring the fruit of the Spirit into our lives. Hallelujah. Glory to God. As you are led by the Spirit and as you enjoy sweet fellowship with the Father and with the Son, your joy will just abound. The love and the joy and peace in your life will just overflow. You see, in Acts chapter 1, and in verse 8, Jesus said, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." You see, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, this was Jesus speaking prophetically of the church on the day of Pentecost and thereafter. And we are part of that church that came into being on the day of Pentecost. He says, "Ye shall receive power after that," or when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. When the Holy Ghost comes in to your spirit, and I'll teach you about your spirit here in a later session. When He comes into your spirit, He brings power into your life. This Holy Spirit power that He gives is greater than any power on earth. It's the power that created the heavens and the earth is resident within you. We'll see it later on here in the class. But with that power comes authority. The authority that you and I have to reign in life as kings comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. We have not only, and when we have authority, we also have responsibility. You see, when you've been given power and you've been given authority, now you have the responsibility to use that authority and to use that power rightly. There are millions of Christians who are filled with power and filled with authority, but they don't use it properly. They are not acting responsibly. Most Christians ignore the power of the Holy Spirit and simply try to live their Christian life by the power of their minds and not by the power of their spirits, and they do not live victoriously, because the only way you can live victoriously in this world is to live by the power of the Holy Spirit. You and I have the responsibility to use the power we've been given to carry out the ministry and the calling that we've been given. And you know what? We're going to be held accountable someday. We are going to give an account of what we do with the Holy Spirit one day when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. In Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And verse 17, it says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable unto you." Those who are responsible for God's people have to give an account of the ministry that they have been given and the responsibility that they have. So if you're going to be held accountable, then you better use the authority and the power that you've been given by the Holy Spirit. You better use it with great responsibility, with great understanding of what you've been given, and you better learn to use it rightly. Look at Romans chapter 14, because you will give an account someday. And that means every one of us. In Romans chapter 14, it says in verse 12, well, it says in verse 10, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." See, I don't want to ignore the power of God that I've been given. Because in Matthew 25, It gives the great, Jesus gave the great parable of the talents and how three different individuals were given talents or power or authority according to their ability. And the one that was given five talents, he went out and made five other talents. And the one that was given two talents, he went out and made two other talents. But the one that was given one talent, he didn't use it at all. He just buried it. And most Christians today bury the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. They don't walk by the Spirit. They're not led by the Spirit. See? And they're going to have to give an account of that someday. Primarily because they haven't been taught, I believe, the reason why they don't use the power of the Holy Spirit. But especially for those who've been taught, if those who've been taught don't use what they've been given, if they just bury it like this man did, who was the unprofitable servant, they're going to receive the judgment that the unprofitable servant received. And it says here in verse 30 of Matthew 25, "But cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Ladies and gentlemen, if we've been given the power and the authority and the responsibility to walk and be led by the Holy Spirit and use the power of God, if we don't walk in light of what we've been given, ladies and gentlemen, if we just bury that talent, the Word of God says that we're going to be cast into outer darkness and there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want that fate in my life. I don't want that kind of judgment to come against me. I want to use today, I want to use right now what the Lord has given me to move and to advance the kingdom of God. I want to use it in love. I want to use it in honesty. I want to use it in the fullness of all of its power. See, because I don't want to have to stand before the Lord someday and say, "Lord, I was too lazy," or "I was too, I just didn't have time for your Holy Spirit. I didn't have time to walk in the power of God. I had too many other things that I was concerned about." And the Lord says to me, "Thou wicked and unprofitable servant, you be cast into outer darkness." I don't want Him to say that of my life. So I am not going to bury the ability that the Holy Spirit has given me. I'm going to use it as I am led by the Spirit. I'm going to walk with Him, and I'm going to allow Him to use me, and I'm going to walk with Him, and I'm going to see His power in my life. I'm going to use the authority that I've been given. I'm going to take the power that I've been given. I'm going to take the responsibility that I've been given and use all that I can possibly do to advance the kingdom of God. See? When the Holy Spirit came in, He not only gave us power and authority, but He also gave us a new nature of holiness. And if we're going to walk by the power of God, if we're going to be led by the Holy Spirit, we have to walk in holiness. We have to align our lives up so that we are in the will of God. We have to walk in fellowship with the Father and with the Son, according to 1 John chapter 1. We have to live our lives such as one who belongs to God, as the Word of God teaches. We need to walk in holiness, and that new nature within us is a nature of holiness. It's now normal for you to walk righteously. It's now normal for you to walk in the power of God. See, this is your new nature. Sin goes against your nature, and we'll learn more about this in a later session, because to really enable you to walk with the power of God, you have to walk in holiness. And that is where we will be going in this class after we learn more about how the authority of the believer is manifested. Now, authority is the jurisdiction to judge and therefore to impute blessings or punishment. Authority is conferred upon us. For instance, in our town, we have a mayor of the town. And under the mayor of the town, or the leader of the town, is a chief of police. And under the chief of police is the individual policeman on the street. Those policemen on the street carry authority that has been conferred upon them by the chief of police, and the chief of police authority has been conferred upon him by the mayor of the town. They have authority to carry out the laws of that city or town that they live within, that they have jurisdiction over. You and I are just like that in the spiritual realm. We have been given authority from the head, who is Jesus, our Lord. We have authority here upon earth within the jurisdictions that he has given us, within the areas that he has given us to work within, to carry out his authority and to enforce the laws of the kingdom of God, so to speak. See? When it comes to authority, we must understand who we have authority over and who we do not have authority over. We do not have authority over the Godhead. You cannot tell God the Father what to do. You cannot tell Jesus what to do, nor can you tell the Holy Spirit what to do. We have authority over angels. Angels work for us and work with us, we'll see in the Word of God, and we have authority to command and charge angels. We have, to a limited degree and under special circumstances, and this is a very limited degree and a very special circumstances, we have some authority over other people. For instance, parents have authority over their children to a certain degree. A husband has authority over his wife to a certain degree. A pastor has authority over the people that the Lord has given him to shepherd in a very limited and a very certain degree. He does not have total control, nor does a parent have total control over his children, nor does a husband have total control over his wife. But to a certain degree, they have authority in those situations. You have total authority over yourself. You have authority over your life. And the great truth in this class is that we have total authority over the devil, say. And we must learn to exercise that authority that has been conferred upon us as kings in the kingdom of God, under the King of Kings. We must learn to reign and exercise our authority as kings over the devil and over all of his power. See? And that is the great truth in this class, and that is one of the great exciting realities that we have to walk in. You have authority over the devil. Hallelujah. He does not have authority over you. Praise the Lord. Look at Acts 26. Acts 26. Glory to God. We have been delivered from the authority of the devil. Here was Paul's commissioning by the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. And Paul was ordained by the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 18 to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power or the authority of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. Before a person is a Christian, they are under the authority of Satan. But when they receive Christ, that authority is broken in their lives, and they are now under the authority of the kingdom of God. All they have to do is learn how to exercise that authority, how to use that authority, then they can drive the devil out of their lives. That's right. Colossians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Then once you drive him out of your life, you can drive him out of your family. And when you drive him out of your family, then you can drive him out of your community. You can drive him, once you get him out of your community, you can drive him out of your nation. That's right. We can take authority over the nations of the world if we will just rise up in boldness and believe what God has made us to be. We can change the course of history if we will rise up and believe the authority that we have in Christ. Glory to God. Verse 12, Colossians chapter 1 says, giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us. Verse 13, who hath delivered us. And if he delivered us, then we are delivered from the power or the authority of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We are members of the kingdom. In fact, we are kings under the King of Kings. And we are to reign in life if we learn that we have been delivered from the power of darkness and if we walk in the authority that we've been given. See? Hallelujah. Most Christians still believe that they're under the authority of the world. That's why they put up with sickness. That's why they put up with poverty. That's why they put up with disease. That's why they put up with defeat, because they think that that is supposed to happen to them. That is not supposed to happen to them. There is promise after promise after promise in the Word of God that shows just the opposite, that a Christian is to live victoriously. A Christian is to walk with the power of God. A Christian is supposed to be healed. He's supposed to be healthy. He's supposed to be protected. He's supposed to have all of his needs met. Why haven't we seen this come to pass? It's because you and I as Christians have been filled with authority, but we have not used our authority. We have not exercised our authority. And that's what this class is all about. We have authority over the devil. He doesn't have authority over us. Just the opposite is true. We have authority over him. We have been given authority because we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has given us authority to become the sons of God. You see, in the beginning, God created the earth, and he set man upon the earth to be his under-ruler. God was ruler over all, and then man upon the earth was to be the ruler under the ruler over all. We were set upon earth to be kings. He is King of Kings. See? And we were to take dominion over all the earth. We were to take dominion over all the earth. The earth was originally created to be a paradise for man and a prison for demons. We were created to worship God and to rule over the earth. Look at Genesis chapter 1. I'll show this to you. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1. And verse 28. And God blessed them. Verse 28. And God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. Now, why would you need to subdue it if it was a perfect creation? The reason why, what was there in the creation that needed to be subdued if it was a perfect creation? Well, the Word of God teaches that in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, God created angelic beings. And they were under three heads, Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. Lucifer was the angel of light. Lucifer led a rebellion against the true God in heaven, and he was cast out, according to Revelation chapter 12. He was cast down to the earth, and he was to remain on the earth for a period of time until he could finally be destroyed. That day is still coming in the future. Man was set upon the earth to rule over all of God's creation and to subdue the demons that had been placed there, that had been imprisoned there. Well, man fell. Eve was deceived. Adam followed along in her transgression and transferred all the authority that God had given to him over all of creation. He transferred it to Satan. Look at Luke chapter 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 4. All the authority that God had given to Adam, he transferred to Satan. And in Luke chapter 4, Satan makes an interesting statement here in verse 6. In the temptations of Jesus, the devil said unto him, "All this power," and the word power is the word authority, "will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me." This word, this power was delivered unto Satan by Adam. When Adam fell, he transferred all that authority, all that power that had been given to him by God, he transferred it to Satan. See? And this is where Satan got the power. This is where Satan got the authority over all the earth. It had been given to him, it had been delivered unto him by Adam. Jesus, through his perfect work, through his redemption, through his atonement, through his death upon the cross, and his resurrection, his ascension, he took back all the power and all the authority that Adam had lost. He stripped the devil of his power and of his authority. Literally, Satan has no authority in this world today. He has no authority over your life. He has no authority over mine. But we give him authority when we deny what the Word of God says, when we don't believe what the Word of God says. That's what gives him entrance into our lives. The only power that Satan has over us is the power that we give him because of our unbelief. Hallelujah. He has no power over our lives because all that was lost by Adam was regained by Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew 28. Hallelujah. Isn't this good word of God? Amen. It absolutely is. In Matthew 28, after his death and resurrection, before his ascension, Jesus said unto them, in verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power, all authority is given unto me. All authority is given unto me. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." See? All authority is given unto me in heaven and upon earth. He has the authority. And then now he gives it to his church. Now he gives it to his church. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. He legally took back what Satan had stolen from God. He legally took it back by paying the price of the sin of the first Adam. The sin that opened the door for Satan to take all the authority, Jesus paid the price for that sin, so he had every right to take the authority back. That's right. Hallelujah. And when he took it back, he gave it to his church on the day of Pentecost. He gave it to you and I because we are members of his body. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 19, it says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power and might and dominion." And these are different ranks of demon spirits. He says that he set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. "And hath put all things under his feet." All these things in the world, all these demons, all these powers in the world are under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, "and gave him to be head over all to the church." You know, when Jesus won the victory over Satan, he put his foot on the neck of Satan. When two armies would fight in biblical times, and the one king would conquer the other king, they would capture that king and bring him in before the victorious king, and that fallen king would be made to bow down before the true king, before the victorious king, and the victorious king, as symbolic and symbolizing the dominion that he had over him, he would place his foot upon the neck of his enemies, of his enemy, the enemy king. Jesus placed his foot upon Satan's neck. With his death and with his resurrection, the victory over Satan was complete. Put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Christ has his foot on the enemy's head, on his neck, because I am a member of his body. Therefore, I have my foot on the enemy's neck. I reign over him. I have authority over him. I am far above him, and so are you. You have authority over the devil. That's right. You've been given this as a member of the body of Christ by his grace and mercy. Look at verse 6 of chapter 2 of Ephesians. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are seated in the heavenlies. And this seat is a seat of authority. The seat here in verse 6 of chapter 2 is a seating of authority that every single member of the body of Christ has. Every single member has authority over the devil. Every single member has authority over sin, sickness, death, poverty, and every negative thing in this world. We have authority over it, and if we learn to use our authority, we can defeat it and rise above it. God wants his people to be healed. He wants his people to prosper. He wants his people to have a more abundant life. He wants his people to be victorious in every situation. If they will learn to use the authority that they've been given in Christ and be led by the Holy Spirit, they can see these things come to pass in their life regardless, absolutely, regardless of the circumstances that they live in. That's right. God can work as big in Africa as he can in America, as he can in Asia, as he can in Europe, as he can in South America, as he can anywhere. He can work wherever there is someone who believes God, who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. They can do the works that he did. They can walk in the power. They can see the promises come to pass. They can see the deliverance because we have been given absolute, complete, and total authority over the devil if we use it. You know, it never says that God is to deal with the devil in your life. It says that you are to deal with the devil. Because Jesus has already done everything with his resurrection. He has already done everything that he will do with the devil until he comes back to earth in the battle of Armageddon. From that point of the resurrection and that future, still future day of the battle of Armageddon, the ones who have to deal with the devil are those who have been given authority over the devil, and that is you and I. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Authority must be used in order to be effective. We must use the authority that we've been given. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 says, And he called unto him his 12 disciples. He gave them power, and the word power is the word authority, over unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. We've got that authority. We can use it. See, we've got that authority. We can use it. And we must use it to advance the purposes of the kingdom of God, to protect the body of Christ, and to carry out his will and to reign in life. The only thing that keeps you from reigning in life is the devil. If you will learn to use your authority over the devil, you can reign in life, in every category of life. Hallelujah. Look at James chapter 4. Hebrews James chapter 4. Now the devil is a good foe. And you're going to have to learn to walk in holiness if you're going to walk in spiritual authority. But I want you to see now that you have spiritual authority over the devil and that you can defeat him and that you can get him out of your life if you're willing to commit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and walk in the power of God. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will overpower you," right? No, that's not what the Word of God says. It says, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Be aggressive in the Spirit. Be aggressive in the Spirit. We're in a spiritual war. And you don't win a war by being nice to your enemy. You win a war by defeating and destroying your enemy, wherever you find him. We don't have any human, physical enemies. We have only enemies in the Spirit. And we are to aggressively attack and resist and overcome the devil wherever we find him. He is our enemy. And if you will resist him and fight against him and stand against him, he will flee from you, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And you know, maybe you're just a young woman. And maybe culturally you've never stood up to anybody or anything in your life. Well, sister, I tell you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have great courage within you. You have great strength within you. You can rise up and take a stand and be a woman of God. That's right. It doesn't matter your cultural background or your custom background. Stand for God and the Lord Jesus Christ and tell the devil to get out of your life. Bless God forever. And he'll do it. You resist him, he will flee from you. Verse 8. Be sober, of 1 Peter chapter 5. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You know, the devil's a roaring lion. Well, you just roar back at him. Don't be intimidated by his roaring. You roar back at him. Look at Proverbs chapter 28. Just because the devil's a roaring lion doesn't mean that he has to scare us. Verse 1 says of Proverbs 28, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." You and I are made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. Boy, we'll learn more about this in a later session. And we need to be bold as a lion to stand up to that roaring lion and back him down and make him leave. That's right. Ephesians 4:27 says, "Give no place to the devil." Give him no place. Drive him out wherever you find him. Attack him. Go after him. Drive him out of your family. Drive him out of your personal life. Drive him out of your community. You need to be aggressive in the Spirit and stop backing down to witch doctors. What are you afraid of a witch doctor for? Stand with the power of God and tell that witch doctor to repent and get on his knees before the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. I'm not afraid of any witch doctor. And I've run into witch doctors. And I've stood up to them. And I've spoken the Word of God. And their curses haven't hurt me. Because I have a greater shield of protection that any demon can get through. I have the shield of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so do you, if you believe God and take a stand. I know witch doctors run your community. The only reason why they run your community is because you've let them. Now rise up and take a stand, especially you pastors. Rise up and take a stand and fight off those demons and tell them to go somewhere else. Because they have no right to afflict you. They have no right to hurt your community. They have no right to tear you down. They have no right to keep you in poverty. Why? Because Jesus has delivered you from the power of darkness and given you citizenship in the kingdom of God. And I don't give him any place. Ephesians 4:27 says, you don't give him any place. That's what the Word of God says. And I don't give him any place. And every time I find him where he shouldn't be, I drive him out in the name of Jesus Christ. That's right. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." You know why you don't have your needs met? Because the devil has stolen everything that God's been giving you. That's right. You need to tell him to stop stealing what God has given you. Stop stealing your needs being met, and you will start to see those needs being fulfilled, because the devil is stealing them on the way, and you've allowed it to happen because you haven't used your spiritual authority. That's right. That's exactly right. And that's why we're in this class. I'm not being critical. I'm telling you the reason why you've been defeated, because you haven't used your spiritual authority. But I'm also going to teach you in this class how to use your spiritual authority and how to get your needs met. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Our God is a good God, and he's faithful to his word, and he brings his promises to pass when his people believe. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at 1 John chapter 4. One more verse we'll close with in this particular teaching session. 1 John chapter 4. Bless your heart. I love you. I'm so thankful that you are taking the time out of your busy schedule to listen to these tapes and to learn this word of God. It will have such an impact in your life, just like it has in mine, just like it has for thousands and thousands of people who have heard this word of God and begun to believe it. Hallelujah. And God will work in your life just like he's worked in mine, just like he's worked in thousands of other people's lives who have learned to believe him and learned to walk in that power. In 1 John chapter 4, in verse 4, it says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them." Ladies and gentlemen, if we've overcome them, then we've overcome them. That's right. Not through our works, but through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. On the cross of Calvary, Satan was defeated forever. That's when we overcame. Hallelujah. "Ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And when you walk in your authority, knowing that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, there's no demon in hell that can stand up to you, because you are filled with the power of God.